brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Grab a drink of choice, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic. Get yourself comfortable in your nice cozy chair and settle in, because we're taking a little drive into history of sorts. I am Gutigal Juliana, and this is a suds segment where the more we drink, the smarter we sound. Well, I mean, at least to us. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
Hello. I am really excited to be here.
He always sounds smart, though.
He's very smart.
I know. That's why he sounds smart.
Reverend Mark, hello.
Hello. It's so good to be here today with you all.
Yay. He sounds like he should be hosting like a kid show or something. Hello, children.
Yeah. This is a family-friendly beer show.
That's true.
This is, yes.
I'm a Mr. Rogers
of
beer.
Reverend Mark, tell us about the history of beer.
Well, kids, it goes like this.
Yeah.
Was that with or without rabbits?
No, don't get into that story.
Good old boy Sean, hello.
Hello. Good to be back, and hello to everyone out there listening to us, wherever you're listening to us at.
Yes.
Hey, well, and that was a lot.
He was just acknowledging everyone that's listening to us, which is good. We need to do that from time to time.
Complex.
It was, as it should be. Good old boy Dave, hello.
I got the poo on me.
Oh, boy.
That's how you introduce yourself.
Oh. As we...
I'm setting the tone.
Yeah. Well, okay. Today, I'm really, really, really excited about. We are taking a tour through the history of Asheville brewing in a way, and we're going to be talking about the second oldest brewery in Asheville, North Carolina, which cracks me up considering how it's not that old in the grand scheme of things, but... it is, in a way. What we're doing is we're going to do a brewery takeover of Green Man Brewery in Asheville, North Carolina. Good old boy Dave, why don't you hit us with some knowledge?
Okay, let's see. Hello, friends. A Green Man is a sculpture, unless it's the Incredible Hulk. A Green Man is a sculpture, drawing, or other representation of a face surrounded by or made from leaves. Branches or vines may sprout from the nose. Ow, dude, that would mess up your sinuses. Nose, mouth, nostrils, or other parts of the face. And these shoots may bear flowers or fruit. Commonly used as a decorative architectural ornament, Green Man are frequently found on carvings in churches and other buildings, both secular and ecclesiastical. That's Reverend Mark's area of expertise. Yeah. The Green Man is also a popular name for English public houses, and various interpretations of the name appear on inn signs, which sometimes show a full figure rather than just the head. And you'd be surprised where the branches come out when it's the full body. Anyways, so the legendary Green Man has existed for centuries, but it's no myth that he's been brewing great beer in Asheville since 1997. As one of North Carolina's original breweries, Green Man has been producing some of the beer scene's most iconic ales. Our offerings are consistently recognized for quality and loyalty to traditional English styles. Additionally, our brewers strive to bring innovative and exciting new flavors to beer-loving folks.
Thank you.
That was a lot of hard words to say.
It was, wasn't it?
I felt like I had branches coming out of my...
eyeballs.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Are you a Branch Davidian?
Oh.
Hey-oh.
And we're done.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That all didn't right. take long,
we'll see
did
if we
it?
Can leaf that out.
Oh, gosh. Good old boy, Sean. Why don't you give us a lineup for today?
Sure thing. The Green Man Brewery beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are the ESB Special Amber Ale at 5.5% ABV, the IPA at 6.2%, the GABF 2021 Gold Medal winning Porter Woo-hoo! At 6.6% ABV. Congratulations on that. That is huge. Their lager at 4.2%, and the Tart Berry Berliner Weiss Style Ale at 4.2% ABV.
Thank you very, very much. Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Be glad to. Today we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Hear how the ratings go. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, ah, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another. Woohoo!
Okay, before we get into the beer though.
Uh-oh.
Reverend Mark, okay, since you're on the churchy side of things.
No more. But anyway.
Well, I'll try you to know be. What I mean.
Oh, yeah. You're still churchy.
You're all churchy.
Right. You're way churchy.
Green man for you.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does it mean anything?
You know, I think it has more of Celtic kind of connections to Christianity than it does like a broader Orthodox understanding of how you, you know, signify a church. So that's what little I understand about.
Okay.
And you know, Christianity is not... homogeneous, you know what I mean? There, you have
you
to look
don't
at,
say.
Yeah, yeah, that's, well, we don't want to get Shocking. Into that discussion either. That's one reason, yeah. We try to be more friendly than we, you know, we need to be. And I'm not speaking for the church, believe me. I'm just speaking for my knowledge of the church. But yeah, I do think that it has a lot of connections with the Celtic
so do you
roots
think
of
like,
Christianity.
Yeah, okay. Do you think like as a way to bridge and kind of make like pagan people more amenable to coming into the church.
That's what I was
wondering. Let them involve some of their symbolism and stuff like that.
Exactly. And you know, when I was a young pastor, there was this one woman in my church. She was just against any kind of drinking under any kind of conditions. And I reminded her that, you know, the very first miracle in the Gospel of John was Jesus turning water into wine, you know. And she thought about this. She knew the Bible really, really well. She thought about it. And then she just said, well, I know, but he shouldn't have done that.
So, no way.
Wow. At least she's honest.
She would have given Jesus a good scolding.
So the lesson to me as a young minister was, whatever Jesus doesn't get away with, you are surely not going to get away with.
Nice.
That's fair.
So
yes,
I drank my beer in the parking lot before I came into the church.
Before got it out of the way.
Before we went to the spaghetti dinner.
With the potluck ambrosia salad for dessert. Yeah. Yes.
And the green jello salad.
Oh,
there's the connection.
Yes.
The green.
Ooh, yeah.
Very good.
Wow.
With
very
leaves
good.
And twigs.
Yeah.
Branches.
Yeah. Nice. They left the stems in.
Yeah.
It's a little essence. You got to have a little essence.
And you had to stay away from the spaghetti and meatballs from the widow that had the 16 cats.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, meatballs, hairballs.
No.
You know.
Ouch.
All right. How about we maybe drink a beer?
Yeah. Oh, less. Okay. Let's start with a classic, or at least I think this one is a classic. It's their ESB, Special Amber Ale, 5.5% ABV. It's their take on a classic. This English amber ale is brewed with 100% English ingredients, using only Simpson's malts, English Fuggle hops, and classic English ale yeast strain. Expect malty notes of toasted biscuit, toffee, caramel, along with low notes of dried fruit from the yeast and herbal and woody flavors from the hops. And everyone is nodding their head in agreement.
Yeah.
A balanced everyday drinker inspired by the British pub. A malty amber ale boasting rich toasted and caramel flavors. It is one of their award-winning signature brews as well. And I believe this is taken many awards at GABF over the years.
I do believe, yeah. It probably should have looked that up before we started this taping, but yes.
It's all good.
It is. It's an excellent beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. All those descriptors you read, they're all there.
Yeah. Yeah. If this had been a blind tasting, I would have almost thought Fuller's or, you know, I mean, not to take away from them.
Sure.
But it's very classic. Has that nice, just enough sweetness to end on.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I wouldn't have picked up on if they hadn't said it, I think, was the dried fruit. But then once they say it, then it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you definitely get that toasty, nutty, little bit of caramel all going on.
Definitely
all caramel. The way through it.
Toffee in the nose.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, for somebody that is used to maybe some beers that don't have a lot of flavor, and, you know, we've all been there in high school, college, whatever. Having something like this really, to me, highlights the fact that beer can be so much more.
At 5.5%.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot going on here, but it's layered. It's lovely. It's easy drinking. It can, I mean, anybody can be happy with this. There's a little bit of hopness to it. So for those of you that like hops, you're going to taste it. It's there. It's not going to be in your face, but it's still available. And for those of us that love the malts and the yeast, this thing shines. It's like sunshine. It's so, so good.
And it is the malt thing. And often they're slightly under attenuated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true. Right out of the gate, I think it's safe to say we're going to give this ESB a Suds 5.
Woohoo!
Man, that's starting out high, man. I hope the rest of the flight can.
But this is a classic, and they've been doing it so well for such a long time.
Yeah, it's so dialed in. But, you know, when you go into a traditional place, this is what you would want.
I've had the pleasure of selling a number of pints of this beer.
We will be back with more beer from Green Man in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're talking about a brewery that is part of the fabric of Asheville, North Carolina, and, well, North Carolina for that matter. We're talking about Green Man Brewery in Asheville that started in 1997. And, man, with that first beer right out of the gate being so, so yummy, let's see where we're headed next. We're going to talk about the IPA. It is their original flagship beer. Clocking in at 6.2% ABV. It's a classic American take on the original IPAs from Burton-on-Trenton, England, for those of you that may not know that. Built on a base of Golden Promise malt and just a touch of Crystal malt, when they layer in the American sea hops, and for those of you that don't know the seas, it is Columbus, Centennial, and Cascade. Brewing new and old world together to create an IPA their fathers would be proud of. So, thoughts?
Definitely a classic British style IPA,
mm-hmm.
except for the hops.
Right.
You know, the malt backbone of a British IPA comes straight through on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you were a fairly new craft beer drinker and you walked in and it's like, I'm going to have the IPA, you're not getting the beer you think you're getting because it's not going to be juicy or hazy or fruity or sweet. This is a classic. You get those toasty caramelly notes. And it, but what's great is that twist the American hops give it that citrusy orange and a little lemony contrast to what's going on.
Yeah.
I got this like smile in my in my belly and on my taste buds. No, because it's not too much of one way or another, you know? Yeah. And being like an amateur history person, I love the provenance of what this means, because honestly, beer in America would be nothing without beer from overseas to help. But yeah, I mean, for us to put our little twist on, but the basis of everything, and I don't just mean England, I mean a lot of Europe and a lot of places there. And this is, you know, simple is better. And this is simple. I mean, the little extravagance, if you will, is the American hops that are, you know, the C's that are put into it. But just, it's hitting all the notes. Yeah, and it's so and tasty.
Really, the only, you know, the main thing that makes this different from just a traditional English IPA would, you know, if it was English hops, it'd be just a little more floral, maybe kind of more earthy instead of the citrus pop. But I think it really works.
It does. Well. Yes.
Right. I like it personally. I think also it still tilts in the direction of the original style.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
And so, you know, it really is good for beer history to say, this is where it all came from. And it was sort of like a creature that was birthed out of necessity. You know, these casks were overhopped to be shipped long distances. And yep. This is kind of what you came up with. And yeah, it's still good to sort of have that as a benchmark.
It is. Yeah. Because I mean, it's still relevant today. And I think even more so now that we're getting, well, at least I feel that I'm getting away from the extravagance of what beer flavors has become to bring it kind of back. And this is such a great example of that.
And it's a good example of what I used to call the East Coast IPA.
Yes.
Yeah. Before hazies existed, mm-hmm. there was a definite style that was different from the big hoppy mm-hmm. West Coast ones. And they featured that classic British malt backbone, but with American hops.
Dogfish Head is another example in that. And then Brooklyn's IPA.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Brooklyn was a great example. So they would use British malts rather than.
Yeah, British malts, but then they'd use the American hops, which is what makes it really interesting and makes it the East Coast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and having someone that's recently revisited a British style IPA from a very well-known brewery out of Ohio, that was quite a disappointment. This is quite a treat to taste. And, you know, I'm not saying it's maybe the British hops that made it a disappointment, but this is much more enjoyable to drink than what I recently had that shall remain nameless.
I mean, very easy drinking, and
I can do it.
Yeah.
The IPA from Green Man, we are going to rate a 5 as well.
Uh-oh. Let's keep that train rolling. So, interestingly, you know, Green Man, they do, you know, English-style beer. So, you know, as a topic of discussion, I found something on the interweb from England. And might kind of let the show take a little bit of a darker turn. But, so, gentlemen... was kind of digging around his house, and he found a wire, an exposed wire that was leading behind the wall under the stairs in his house. And so he kind of dug around in there, and he found like this little crevasse or something, and like a little cavity behind the stairs. And there was a doll. And I'm going to tell you right now, I hate dolls. Okay. So I hate dolls because they're creepy.
Did you have G.I. Joe?
Yeah. It's not a doll. It's an action figure.
You're thinking of the Twilight Zone. Hi, I'm talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you.
So, Chucky.
So this doll, her name was Emily.
Oh, no.
What a sweet name.
And she had a note with her. And the note said, thank you for freeing me. My original owners lived in this house in 1961. I didn't like them, so they had to go. All they did was sing and be merry. It was sickening. Stabbing was my choice of death for them, so I hope you have knives. Hope you sleep well. And that was kind of the note. Yeah. So he finds a doll under the stairs with a note that basically she murdered the previous owners of the house, and I hope you have knives, and I hope you sleep well. And he thought it was funny. His friends encouraged him to sell the house immediately. I would have burned it down, frankly. I would have just burned it down. But yeah, that's England. There you go. All right.
Wow, it's crazy over there.
Yeah. So, what is like? Have you? So, I had a house in East Nashville, and I found a needle and a spoon tucked away in the rafters.
In a crevasse.
Yeah, in the rafters of the basement. Luckily, did not prick myself on the needle. That's the only
old East
weird
Nashville.
Things I've found in a home from previous owners. You guys ever found anything after you buy a house? And
I never have.
No, and I live in a very old home. Mm-hmm. And the only thing, it's not creepy so much, it's just kind of very dated now, is where they would measure the heights of a child that's growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's against an inside closet that has a duct that's covered in asbestos.
Oh, jeez.
So that child only got to be so tall, and then it says, she died.
No. No.
I'm just kidding.
Well played. Well played.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah. The only parallel
died from asbestosis.
Right. Yeah. Shit. You were this high
when you're finally your lungs filled up with it.
Yeah. You finally breathed enough of that stuff. Yeah. Well, you grew up partially in the house your grandfather built, right?
My great grandfather built. Yes.
That is still standing.
It is still standing. It was built in the 1870s. For those of you that don't know, I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania. We got a lot of old homes that are from
a lot of old people too.
And yes, there's a lot of old people. So there's a little attic hole in what was my brother's what was that place where you closet?
Okay, closet.
Yep,
sure,
closet.
Sure, those are good.
And me, the inquisitive kid that I am, I mean, I had to go up there, right?
Sure.
I mean, I had to. So I go up there and I find some papers that unfortunately had a lot of, there must have been dampness or whatever, but there were papers that my great grandparents put up there. Unfortunately, I didn't know what they were, because they were, you know, so yeah, there's something of that. Interesting that family members would put stuff up in an attic that was really hard to get to, because you had to get into a closet and then put a little ladder in that closet. And the closet space was not huge. I mean, because back in the day, you had trunks and armoires. You didn't have closets per se. So this was, I guess, an extravagance to even have a closet in a bedroom. You know what I mean?
Because like when they taxed people or something, they would like, they counted rooms and like, and if
exactly,
it, if
and
it
a
didn't
closet,
have a closet
was a room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea how my great grandparents coming off the boat, you know, and where they were, like, actually had the money to even have this, but there were closets in two of the three bedrooms that were there. So that's like, I mean,
so it was technically a six bedroom house.
I guess it was. Yeah. Although
so when
really,
they would say, hey, come out of the closet, like it was actually like your room.
Maybe.
Think about that.
Maybe. Yeah, even in my old house, the so-called walk-in closet has just recently been built in that way. It was the washroom.
No.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah. The only walk-in closet in my house at one time originally was the washroom.
Did you have a water closet?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they used to call a shower. It was a water closet.
Yeah.
That was impressive. Yeah, mm-hmm. Really impressive. Mm-hmm. And when my grandmother married my grandfather, the house got a little remodeled because, again, the house was so old it needed to, you know, and they were planning on having at least one child, if not a couple. And I mean, they got one, my mom. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother wanted a cedar closet, because that was the thing back then. So she could have a fireplace or she could have a cedar closet. And she chose the cedar closet. Like, how crazy is that, right?
You would not want a cedar fireplace.
No, but also like cedar would keep the moss away.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the close of the time, I think that was pretty, you know.
I have a cedar closet. In the hall.
Okay.
I do.
That's a thing.
Do you just walk in there and just smell?
But that's where the asbestos thing is.
Oh, man. Well, that'll keep the moths away, too.
Smell the cedar, inhale the asbestos. What's
it's going to kill the moths in two different ways.
At my parents' house, right on the outside wall, right by the back door, there's a little chunk taken out of the brick. From where the people that my parents bought the house from, the wife took a shot at the husband and took a chunk out of the wall.
Mm. So there you go.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's her Second Amendment right to do that.
That's right. So I think to bring this all around, we can just all say that we hate dolls and they're creepy. So
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, you're a doll.
A clown doll. Ooh, yeah.
That's my kryptonite.
Okay. Moving on. Let's get to the beer that has recently won an award for them at GABF. But I have a feeling that this might not have been the first time. I mean, this...
Their old hat at winning awards.
Yeah, exactly. So this is their porter, folks. 6% ABV. A beer style steeped in lore and tradition, their robust porter is made of a rich, flavorful blend of English crystal and roast malts hung on a backbone of Simpson's Golden Promise. And where would we be without Golden Promise malt?
Love it.
I mean, seriously. Hops stay out of the way, allowing the malt complexity to shine. Lots of coffee, chocolate, dark caramel, or caramel for those of you that speak it that way, meld through the flavor and aroma. I mean, wow.
This is perfect.
Wow. This is amazing.
And you talk about classic British lineage. I mean, you can taste it in this beer.
Mm-hmm. It's just so satisfying.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
It honestly is. Yes. You know, and for the porter being the redheaded stepchild of a stout, at least I feel that way, to find a well-made porter is, I mean, something that you want to shout from the rooftops, because the ABV on it is lower. It's more, you know, everyday, right, if you will. And the complexity of this is just stunning.
But, you know, we also have Anchor Brewing Company to thank for the salvation, yes, of the porter, because the porter, yes, almost went extinct except for Fritz Maytag.
And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and here we go with a little bit more history. I mean, in the scheme of things,
and Anchor at one time had the best porter, at least on this side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, this is a great example. I'm getting chocolate, coffee, even a little bit of cola. It finishes semi-dry. It does have enough little bitterness there to balance out all that sweetness going on. But,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I've always thought this was Green Man's best beer. Their porter has just always been rock solid.
Yeah, it's definitely an influence on me as a brewer. I, once again, sold a lot of this beer at one point in my life. And when I worked on a porter recipe.
Probably drank a lot of this
beer. And drank a lot of it as well. But yeah, I definitely looked to the Green Man porter for when I worked on my recipe.
So, in the Golden Promise is really
I did not use Golden Promise.
Or Maris Otter?
Actually, I'm trying to remember what I used, because I was going more session mold. I think I actually just used a regular pale malt, but yeah, Maris Otter or Golden Promise would be wonderful. Yeah, and are wonderful malts to brew with.
A lot of that toasty, biscuity flavor that comes out of there.
So yeah, good. For those of you thinking about brewing a brown porter, brown malt, Simpson's brown malt or crisp brown is also a really nice malt. They don't list brown malt in this one, so I suspect it's not there, but that's definitely one that I've come across that, boy, that'll just take your porter to the next level.
I would say like a good first step for anyone who's going to brew a porter would be to drive to Asheville, camp out and drink a lot of this beer. Like, I mean, like probably like 3 gallons of it.
I mean, a good reference standard. I mean, honestly, and kudos to them for sticking with these beer styles. And I mean, again, they've been around since 97. These are classics, if you will, and they're just as relevant today as they were in the 90s. And I mean, you know, and obviously across the pond beforehand, but it's
not just relevant, a revelation.
And these three beers we've had so far are all great representations of when you put a really interesting American twist on classic British styles. And I don't think very few breweries do it as well as Green Man.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's still paying homage to, you know, the originals, like the forefathers, if you will, putting a little bit of an American twist, but still standing true to what these styles are supposed to be, as opposed to completely going off the rails, you know? And just, wow, beautiful. I can't say enough.
There's no stink on this.
No, there is no stink on this. We are going to rate the classy porter from Green Man a 5.
And once again, congratulations on your GABF win.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Well,
I was quite happy to see that one listed.
Yeah, it is. And you know, again, an underrated beer style. There's
how long has it been since we did three fives in a row?
I was thinking the same thing. It's been forever if we've done it at all.
Maybe
Edmund's
show.
Yeah. And I don't know that they were all fives.
Yeah.
I think there were some some fours that were bordering in
this
there.
This is
Yeah. And again, these are styles that you really can't hide behind either, you know, in the scheme of things. So even more kudos to the brewers, the beautiful brewers that they are. Okay, let's go now more American, and we're going to talk about the Wayfarer American IPA. Oh, no, sorry, we're doing the lager. Sorry. We're doing the lager. The American Light Lager is made from 100% malt and German Hallertau hops. It's 4.2% ABV, so super light. An easy drinking crusher for when you just want a beer. They lager the beer for 3 weeks after a low and slow fermentation with a classic German lager yeast. Notes of cracker and light grain are balanced with just a touch of herbal noble hop characters.
This is what you give your Bud Light friends to tell them to shut up.
Yes.
Yep. This.
Yep.
And they're showing they can't only do classic British styles. They can pull off basically a classic German style. Super nice lager.
Mm-hmm. Clean, but some little aromatic.
Mm.
And this doesn't taste 4.2%.
It's so light.
You know? It is light, but there's oomph
there. Flavor.
There's, you know.
And I love those herbal notes you get of those Hallertau hops. It's just a great German hop, and it really works well with this light malt, crispy,
kind of floats right
crackery
on top of it.
Malt.
Yeah,
just perfect balance.
Sorry, we're too busy drinking to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a kind of beer that, like, lawnmower beer, boat beer, going out camping beer,
beer
sitting inside beer.
Yep. Gateway to craft beer.
Buy this beer and give it to everyone you know.
Well, we'll be back with last thoughts on this lager and some other beers in just a minute.
The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone.
Thanks.
Today
you weren't talking to me.
No, I was talking to our listeners.
Oh, both of them?
I think there's five.
No,
yeah, okay. I think there's five. So we've been waxing poetic, but talking about Green Man Brewery in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm still amazed about the fact that we have not done a brewery takeover of them yet. That just seems so foreign to me. But
How dare us.
I know, right? Sorry. But
we're always going for the new people.
I blame.
And they've been around forever.
I blame Mike.
Yeah, I guess, no, you're absolutely right. So we were talking about their lager, beautiful American light lager, so much better than other things that are out there in the universe. And any last thoughts on it?
This is one more example of why I'm excited that craft brewers are doing lagers. Lager was such a dirty word for such a long time in American beer. And it's nice that we're coming back around to something that should be enjoyed as one of the best types of beer. Like, and is really as varied. Lagers can be as varied and prolific as ales could ever be.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're done right. And this is one more example of when why lagers are great and why people should enjoy them.
I think lagers have always been great, but it's like time is money.
Yeah.
And it takes more time to produce a lager. And that's so true. That's why you see fewer of them.
Well, and then by the time, you know, the American craft beer movement kicked off, lagers were synonymous with, you know, like the McDonald's of beer. It was, mass produced, cheap swill.
Right.
You know, throw some rice in there and put it on beach wood.
True. Well, that beach wood contributes so much flavor.
Oh, man. Yeah. Might as well age it on beach nut.
Wow. Anyways. Well, we are going to rate this beautiful lager from Green Man a 4.
Keep it rolling.
So I wanted to break away from the beer for a second and just talk about those of us that remember going to Green Man in some iteration and what that experience was like. You know, like for Dave and I, our first foray into Green Man was at Jack of the Woods, which was...
Like a pub.
Well, it's a pub that started in 1997, which has the Green Man logo and originally was the Green
Affiliated
Man.
Affiliated with Green Man.
Yeah. And when I saw that beer engine on tap, like I knew that I was home.
And I think, I can't remember which ones we had, but like you could have the beer like through, you know, just force carb, you know, normally, and then you can have the same beer but through the beer engine.
I want to say it was the ESB that we had.
May very well have been. And anytime you can do that, you can really understand how well a beer is made.
Yep.
You know, because it's completely
it's a cool spot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the first place that was I think the only place that I identify with having gone there originally.
Yeah.
But I would return. I used to go to a place nearby called Lake Junaluska. So it's really like 30 miles from Asheville. So been there a few times. But the ESB is really the one that I kind of remember the most, even though today we've, you know, uncovered several of their perennials that are just amazing. But the ESB is the one I remember the most.
Well, and it's the style a lot of people don't make, you know, and it's not as...
Well, it's a style that... does not sell all that well, if we're being honest. You know, there's several breweries around Nashville have tried it and tried distributing it, and it just doesn't fly off the shelf.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, they make it work. But yeah, the Jack of the Woods is cool. The my favorite place the first time I went was the bar they now call Dirty Jack's, which is kind of where they moved operations after they left Jack of the Wood. Mm. And it feels like a dive bar with a little small brew house in it. And it's a really cool place. It's been there forever. And it's still there. You can still go to Dirty Jack's. And then now, like 100 yards down the street, is the new tap room and the new brewery. And they've kept all the old stuff, but they expanded and put a new brew house in. And the new place they call the Mansion. And it's gorgeous and beautiful and a great place to drink beer. But yeah, if you go to the South Slope of Asheville, hit Dirty Jack's and the Mansion both. They're just right there next door to each other. And you've got 8 other breweries, you know, just a few blocks away to check out.
Yeah. And you know what? And one thing that I love about Asheville is that you have so many. I mean, per square foot, you have so many breweries that are there, but they're all thriving and they're all doing something just slightly different. So they're, you know, they're all together and they're all coalescing, so to speak. It's such a great mecca, but. Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay.
And while you're there on the South Slope, I always highly recommend Vortex Donuts. So you can pair your donuts with your beer, too.
Oh, wow.
That's really?
Yeah, it's like on the other side of the block from Green Man.
Yeah.
And I do not go there without getting a good donut.
Yeah. Mm. Yum.
Good to know, because I'm going to be there this weekend.
Oh! So,
yes.
All right, Sean's going to have to report back
we'll
on the donut.
We'll have to do a beer donut pairing show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm, several breweries around town have done those.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Really? Why not? It's the best of both worlds. Okay. Well, moving on. The next beer that we're going to discuss is the Tarte Berry Berliner Weiss. 4.2% ABV, light, fruity, and refreshing. Tarte Berry is their fruited Berliner Weiss style that keeps people coming back for more. They produce all Tarte Berry in their specialty brew house using 700 plus pounds of blackberries, raspberries, and blueberries. And no, good old boy Mike was not harmed in this episode. Expect a wine-like fruity punch in the aroma and a tart, dry finish.
I would say that's pretty accurate. Kind of, there's sort of a wine note that comes out of this thing and a nice crisp tart finish. I like it, man. I mean, I think this is a pretty balanced, well done Berliner.
Yeah, when you poured it, I thought, oh no, here we go. Another fruity, tart Berliner Weiss. Yeah. And then I tasted it. And the wine, when they say wine-like, holy cow, they nailed it. The fruit in this is so rich and jammy. And this is a fantastic beer. And it really does almost make me think more of a wine than a beer.
It does. To me, this brings to mind, you know, we were before the episode, we were talking about Zwanz a Day and just what this time of year kind of brings. And this to me would be something that is welcomed at like a Zwanz a Day festival. You know what I mean? Like
it's like a Beaujolais Nouveau.
That's a good
analogy, because just at 4.2 ABV, I would be, if I didn't know that, I would be kind of careful about drinking too much of this, because there is some really great fruit, a fruit symphony, a light, bright fruit symphony going on here that's more wine-like.
Now you can let your hair down and drink as much
and
as you want.
It's rich and complex. There's really a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing, again, at 4.2%. I mean, there's just a ton going on. What do you think, Sean?
Delightful, refreshing. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting down with it.
Yeah. Yep. Bone diggity.
How cool. Well, we are going to rate the tart berry from Green Man a 4.
Solid.
Yeah. So we have time for a couple, at least one more. So let's get into the Wafer IPA.
A bonus beer.
Exactly. 6% ABV. Their American IPA was designed to be light on the malt and full of Citra hop flavor. Made with American tubero, white wheat, for a light body, this beer is then loaded with a combo of brewer-selected Citra and Simcoe in the whirlpool, and then dry hopped. So this is a little grapefruit pithy, a little peachy, a little apricot, and a hint of dank.
So remember when I said the original IPA, you give that to a new craft beer drinker, they're not going to have any idea that that's an IPA. Mm-hmm. This is what they're going to say.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. This is the beer they're going to go, oh, that's an IPA.
Right.
Yeah. It is so modern.
Yeah. And this is actually what I like with an American IPA myself.
Same here. Yes.
This is what I like.
Yeah.
And the logo of the Green Man, he's got sunglasses on. So appropriate.
He's got his Wayfarers on.
He does. He does.
It's crisp and easy drinking, and it's got all those tropical fruit and citrusy flavors and aromas, and just is delightful.
And I do like the hint of pith in my mouth, because it kind of dries things out a little bit.
Okay.
Exactly. Hey. I don't know what to say about that.
So you're saying
some
your
people
mouth-
like a golden promise.
No! I'm just saying. No!
So you're saying your mouth isn't moist.
Wow.
Not today. Come on, man. It's, you know what? You guys need to grow up. Yeah. Everybody knows that pith is just a little white part inside the peel. Come on. Like y'all haven't had a little pith on you.
Or in you.
Ew.
You know, we're all basically 90% pith anyways.
I thought we're 90% water. Okay. Well, anyways.
I'll let you make the connection then.
Okay. I think this is delightful.
Just classic American style IPA.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice use of Citra and Simcoe. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. The hops are doing all the work in this one. The grain bill is just, it's there to present everything.
Well, I like the fact they use the white wheat, which is like extremely light, but it still gives a little bit of sweetness and a little bit of that extra
softens
body.
Softens it up a bit.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
No caramel. Nothing to compete with it. Yeah.
But again, no fuss, no muss, you know, in the scheme of things. And we already are in love with the regular IPA. This is nice to know that this is a departure from that one, but it's still classic. It's balanced. It's everyday.
It is classic.
Drinking,
and as we talk about now defunct, you know, but great former breweries, this reminds me a little of the Liberty IPA.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah.
Don't be a roadblock, River Mark.
beer is coming around.
So we're going to have another. Oh, wait, what are we going to rate
this beer? Yeah, what are we going to rate this beer?
I mean, what do you guys want to rate it, man? I mean, that's,
I'm like, for what it is.
Okay, yeah. We're going into the five range. We got the happy hands.
We're back to the fives.
To the fives.
No jazz hands, happy hands.
Happy hands. Okay, we've got time for another one. So let's talk about the Trickster Tropical Juicy IPA. This one's got a little bit more ABV on it. This is a 7% ABV. Their Juicy Tropical American IPA is brewed with a combo of American two-row and English pale ale malt. They create a platform for us to launch Carpet Bombing Barrage. Their words, not mine. Of El Dorado, Mosaic, and Simcoe for your taste buds. We hop this beer only at Whirlpool before dry hopping twice for almost 3 pounds per barrel of dry hops.
Wow. So to me, Simcoe and El Dorado are both sort of aggressive hops.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like is, you know, Mosaic is my favorite hop, and it's a very well-rounded hop. So it feels like it's sort of kind of
refereeing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, whoa, easy guys. Let's not get too crazy.
Yeah.
But I like what each of those hops brings to this beer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause you do get some of the tropical stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is kind of the Wayfarer turned up to 11. You know, it's a lot more intense. It has more complexity, but the hops are even just more in your face. You know, they're there. And what you were saying too about those the El Dorado and the Simcoe, I mean they're just all over the place in this.
Yeah,
they are, but it's still balanced. That nice creaminess that's there just helps kind of glide everything along. And I mean, if you're not used to El Dorado hops, this is a nice showcase of that, like in a not too pungent-y, kind of way, which I really am enjoying. And I'm also enjoying the fact that we started off with like their basic IPA and then we went to their Wayfarer and now we're kind of stepping up with this one.
Mm-hmm. The palate bruiser.
Well, yeah, but
it doesn't.
No, yeah. No.
No, it is a nice, refreshing,
but what's cool,
juicy IPA.
Is like in each one of them, the malt bill is exactly right to match the hop profile.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So balanced.
And that's the markers of a really good brewer too, to know when to kind of roll with the punches, and let the hops still shine.
Yeah. Well, and just to keep, either thing from getting too out of whack.
Yeah.
You know, because especially the bigger a beer gets, the harder it is to keep that balance between the malt and the hops,
Right. The only thing I would just ask of everybody else is that there's a massively amount of hops used on the dry hopping, and I'm getting some of the aroma, but I don't know that I'm like getting overwhelmed by it. So
no,
that's,
I'm not.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I would like kind of
it's a little more
backpedal
aroma.
On a little bit I'm not getting that, but everything else is just right on spot, right spot on. But this I'm not getting what it's suggested here in the nose.
But maybe is that because it's fresh and it's cold? It warmed up a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, and there's a fine line with the warmer IPA too, but maybe that's all that's needed.
It could be. It could be.
Is that good? What do you think, Sean?
It's tasty. It's very fresh. And it's the Mosaic is definitely nicely balanced by the El Dorado and Simcoe. It's not a Mosaic in your face, but you definitely know it's there.
Sure, sure. One, it's not a big old cat pee slapping them.
It's not the Simcoe. It's not a Simcoe bomb.
So it's not too much of any one thing, which is great.
Yeah, no.
They did a great job with it.
Yeah.
They really did, yeah. We are going to rate the Trickster from Green Man a 4.
So tricky.
I'm just so impressed by this flight. And as I'm looking at our empty cans, the variety is, you're not seeing any pastry stouts. You're not seeing any funky lactose bombed.
Like nothing goofy.
Yeah. No.
They always have done a great job. And I think back to a long time ago when I was in retail, you could always count on all the Green Man beers being perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Consistency.
You owe it to yourself to go and visit Green Man the next time that you're in Asheville. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. That's going to wrap it up for today. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Just tap that subscribe button and get it out of the way. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry even to play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Heyo, we love your feedback and can reach us online at info@sipsudsmokes.com. Oh, sorry, sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @sipsudsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll be able to interact with the thousands,
the millions
of other fans and those social media platforms.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. How many stars?
Five stars.
Five stars.
If you're listening to us online, that's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Five stars.
Well, good luck, Kendall. Thank you so much for joining.
It was really great to be here on Green Man Day. I love these guys.
Yay. And please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. And it is so good to be here to discuss Green Man finally.
I know, right?
Finally.
It's almost embarrassing.
Yeah.
Good old boy, Sean. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be back. All I can say is, hello, darkness, my old friend. Green Man Porter still tastes great again.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hated it.
Dave, we really depreciate you.
Such love.
You're
such
so special.
Love. This is Good Old Gal Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us. Catch you next time and keep on chuggling.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.